In the past few years, El Paso has seen a number of film productions choose the city for theatrical debuts and test marketing. The most notable film to premiere here is the engaging coming-of-age tale, Bless Me Ultima, which has been screening in local theaters for the past week. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guests today are two of Bless Me Ultima's producers, Mark Johnson and Sarah DeLeo, who helped bring the classic novel by Rudolph Anaya to the big screen and to El Paso, and I'm happy to have them on the program today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us. You're calling in from Los Angeles, but just about 2 weeks ago you were here for the gala, star-studded premiere of this marvelous film at the Plaza Theater in El Paso, and you helped select the city for the first theatrical screenings of the film. I want to start with you, Sarah, and just discuss your expectations for those theatrical screenings and how it's going so far. It's been showing on screens here for about a week.
We're delighted with how the film is performing so far in El Paso. You know, there are a number of factors that went into determining where we would release this film first, and we're so grateful that the city of El Paso has given us such a warm welcome and that people have really turned out to support the film.
And you were both here, I believe, for the premiere at the Plaza Theater?
We were there as well as many of the film's cast and crew.
I know, Mark, you've produced films going all the way back to 1982's Diner, so you've seen your fair share of premieres of films. How did this rank in your history?
You know what? It was one of the best, in part because premieres like this aren't generally done in El Paso.
Right.
And I think there was real excitement just to the idea that we were doing a movie premiere, and it was presented so wonderfully, both in terms and style and in the theater itself was just gorgeous. So there's really something very special about being there. And as I say, all the attendees, I think were genuinely, there's nothing, I have to say, at some point in the Hollywood, some of the premieres where people
right.
are a little jaded, or it's another premiere. This was something really special. And the after party was a lot of fun there in the plaza with a lot of music, and everybody seemed to have enjoyed, one, the movie, but also the event. And quite frankly, I think they were really pleased that El Paso was picked.
Well, we were certainly pleased to have the filmmakers and such amazing cast and crew available at the screening. I think you're right that, you know, it is a special event for here, and you could feel the atmosphere, the electricity there. I'm thinking from a producer's point of view, too, that getting a premiere out in Middle America, a place where you don't usually do premieres, that you get valuable feedback just from sitting in an audience that's not the normal cast of characters that go to Hollywood premieres, and get a vibe for how they're interacting with the film.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think that also, by the way, this film, I think, speaks particularly to the southwest of the U.S. and
yes.
to a Hispanic audience in particular, and I think that was so much the makeup of our premiere audience. And so there was both a sort of an understanding, almost a folkloric understanding of the film, many of whom had read it. And you know, the book is so well known in the southwest of the U.S., but not in other parts. So,
yes.
the experience of this premiere with this particular movie was so special to have done it in a place like El Paso as opposed to Boston, Massachusetts.
Right. That was really the overriding criteria, Sarah, for you helping select El Paso, that both demographically but also culturally, people would just get the film here.
I believe so, yes. And I think the numbers have proved that to be true. You know, as Mark said, this book is beloved and very well known in the southwest of this country. And you know, has been out for 40 years and sold 1.5 million copies, and is really cherished and treasured by the people who know it. And people have been waiting a long time to see this film. So we were glad to be able to open in a place where so many of those people would be able to see it.
And for listeners who are not aware of the book or the film, which is in theaters now, it is set in the 40s in northern New Mexico in a Hispanic community, that farm community. And it's really a growing up story about a boy and a grandmother that comes to live with him, and sort of the intersection of this boy's Catholic faith and experience and the grandmother's sort of Native American healing wisdom. And lots of other coming-of-age things that I think a lot of people can plug into, Hispanic or otherwise, that you know, it's just about a kid growing up and viewing the world and all the different adult angles that come with it.
Absolutely. I think it's a completely universal coming-of-age story. It's what initially attracted me to the book and to this story in particular, to this young boy's character. I think he has experiences that we've all had in childhood or adolescence of contending with kind of our loss of innocence and learning to understand the adult world around us through the lens of our relationships with older people. And in this particular case, it has to do with his spiritual journey and how he learns to contend with what he sees as the evils in the world.
Thank you. Your description of the film was quite spot on, and I see it sort of as a spiritual awakening, a coming of age or a coming of a spiritual age of this young boy who wants to understand how the world works. And his very first question as an older self in the film is, why is there evil in the world? Mm-hmm. And there are different answers that are given to him, or different series of answers, and one very unique one and compelling one from, of course, his grandmother, who may or may not be a witch, actually. And I think that Sarah's right that it's very, it belongs to all of us, this experience and asking, but it's uniquely, you know, embedded in this culture, in this time, and in this place.
Which makes it very fresh, and for me, who watches a lot of films, it looks different, it sounds different, it's a lot of new territory that we don't see coming out of major films. And I'm thinking, Mark, as a producer, there are a lot of elements to this that are not the normal knee-jerk Hollywood elements. That was there any trepidation bringing this novel to the big screen, that you're dealing with basically a primarily Hispanic cast, you're dealing with something that happens in the 40s, you're dealing with a boy's spiritual journey, even the faith dimensions of the film are not normally seen in mainstream films today?
That was one of the challenges of getting it made, because it is, as I think was pointed out in introductions at our premiere, this is not the kind of movie that a Hollywood studio would make at any juncture.
Right.
That's why it's taken us and, quite frankly, the book such a long time to be turned into a movie, because it's not standard fare in any way. And it needed really careful handling, and we're really, really, you know, indebted to Christy Walton for being so supportive and so dedicated to making this movie work.
You rarely see people of color, films about people of color, if not just marginalized characters. You know, most of the big Hollywood films are just so homogenized for not only wide audiences, but worldwide audiences. I'm wondering if this film is maybe in the vanguard of the types of stories that we can tell now that the U.S. is becoming more diverse demographically, as well as, you know, maybe thinking of the Latin American market. You know, we often think of Hollywood films going east and west, and I think films like this, you know, will open up lots of territories south of the border.
I would certainly think so. This is one of the beauties of what we're learning as it's playing in El Paso, and what we'll do with it regionally, learn how best to present it and what kind of audience really responds to it. Because I believe that there is a unique and large audience for it, both in the U.S. and, quite frankly, south of the border.
I think that one of the real honors of getting to work on this film and to help bring this story to life is that, as you mentioned, Charles, there's, you know, entrenched thinking, certainly in Hollywood, that would likely prevent any studio from making this film, or, you know, a film like it. And my hope is that what we're able to do is to demonstrate that there is a vibrant and interested audience for this film and films in this vein. Hopefully, along the way, encourage more films like this to be made.
There's a hunger out there. Maybe it's unnamed by audiences. They're unaware of what's lacking in their cinema diet. But when films like this come along that are not just showing characters that look like them, but more importantly, that are stories about things they've not seen before, I think it goes way beyond ethnicity and demographics. And, you know, I applaud you both for, and everyone else involved with bringing this to the screen. I wanted to ask kind of where this goes from here. You've been testing it here. It's been in several theaters in El Paso. You're getting good response. How do you see this rolling out beyond the region?
I think one of the things we're going to do next month is show it at the Santa Fe Film Festival and then do a release also in the state of New Mexico. And then based on what we've learned in El Paso and in New Mexico, we'll be able to formulate a release pattern. And part of the reason that we're doing this in small steps is, just as we talked before, movies like this really aren't released. And so there is no prescribed pattern. And it's best for us to realize, to figure out who our audience is and, quite frankly, how to reach them.
I think one of the important things that happened here, which I imagine was purposeful and that is part of your thinking, is that there was a great initiative before the screenings to get people to read the book. And I think it added to dimension to those experiences of watching the film. And there seems to be a great component for pushing literacy in general, but also about this book in specifics.
That's true. That's Arenas, who is handling the distribution and marketing of the film, has done an incredible job in encouraging people to read the book, you know, both in conjunction with seeing the film, but also as a way of promoting literacy. This book was actually selected a couple of years ago by the National Endowment for the Arts as part of their National Big Read program, which ran in libraries around the country and encouraged people in every community where they pilot that program to read any or all of a group of classics. And Bliss Mealtime had the honor of being included in that very small group. So it's had that role for a while, and I think it's, again, a very beloved book. And the campaigns that have been undertaken in El Paso to encourage people to read the book have hopefully bolstered the audience.
Fantastic. Well, it's got a very fine cast. It's very well made. And again, kudos to you both and everyone else involved for bringing this story to the screen and frankly, charting new territory. I'm very excited to see where the film goes from here and wish you both all the best with your future plans for this film. Bless me, Ultima.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Charles, and thanks to the city and people of El Paso.
I've been discussing the making and marketing of the new film, Bless Me Ultima, with two of the film's producers, Sarah DeLeo and Mark Johnson. Bless Me Ultima received its world premiere at the Plaza Theater before opening in El Paso theaters. The film is based upon Rudolf Anaya's groundbreaking novel and touchstone of Chicano literature, and the film is screening at local cinemas now. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.